Hey everybody, just a quick note. I had some internet problems during this episode. The episode ends pretty abruptly, about 45 minutes in. The internet went down, couldn't get it back up, so apologize for that. We will be having our next live stream 2 weeks from yesterday, which should be on June 2nd. So enjoy the show, or what there is of it. It's Duff's Electric Unicycle Show! Starring Duff.
I have wobbles for a very long time. Good evening. How you doing? Duff here. Cindy's to my left, but she's being quiet right now. And it's raining outside. You may hear the thunder, you may not. I guess I should make sure that you can hear me. Hopefully you can. Cindy, are you going to do any puffs tonight or no?
Could you
Cindy's sensitive about puffs now for some reason.
It's just not everybody's business.
Oh, okay. No more puff talk. Right, so how's everybody doing? Hopefully well. I kind of rushed in here with about 10 minutes to go and threw everything up. I actually have the conventional full green screen behind me this week. I wasn't real pleased with the fuzziness with the using the software only green screen. So yeah, we have the physical green screen set up tonight. Not that you care, but yeah, it's there. What's that?
You got it up quick, that you did.
I did. Yes, you're right. So Clay just got off the greenway. It was dry. Oh yeah. It started raining. Cindy and I actually were out on. She was on her Dualtron, and I was on the 18L. We wanted to ride around here, just looking for potential houses around here that were possibly for sale. And we made it to our first street, looked at one house, and it started to rain. And by the time it was, and thankfully it was only one block down the street, it started to rain hard. By the time we got home, we were just on the verge of getting soaked. Luckily, we got the Dualtron and the 18L back under cover before it got too bad. But yeah, it was raining hard, and it's been off and on raining hard for the last, how long has it been? An hour and a half? 2 hours? Hour and a half at least. You didn't do the chicks yet, right?
No,
Okay.
but I'll go.
Well, I can do them later. It doesn't
I have
matter.
a raincoat. I'm not
Well,
afraid of water.
the doors will close. It
I'm
doesn't
not
matter.
afraid of
Whatever.
water.
So, anyways, yeah, it's a little bit rainy right now. And, I don't know if any of you saw the video that I posted earlier today. Katie has not had her baby yet. I said that the live stream tonight was contingent on Katie not having her baby today, and she did not. So we're still in a holding pattern with that. Could be any day. Any day, any hour, any minute. Right, Cindy?
Yeah.
And Cindy is anxiously awaiting that moment.
I can't wait.
She's very excited. Clay said Clay was on the greenway. He said it wasn't raining there. Yeah, maybe, Clay, how sometimes there's rain that's east of 75, and then you get nothing closer to the coast. I think that's what we have right now. But I thought there was only a slight chance of rain at all today, so I'm kind of surprised. And I think all next week it's just supposed to be hot and dry, very little rain. Oh, so you ordered, Clay says he ordered your new tire for the one wheel. So what did you wind up getting? A Vega, a Burris, or something else? And did you go with treaded or smooth? How many miles do you have on your one wheel, Clay? I'm curious. Because that to have tread showing on your tire, I would imagine that you probably have to have I don't know, 1,000 to 2,000 miles on that thing, at least. 804, okay. I'm sorry, I have the same 9x1 training series videos playing. I didn't have time to switch it up to something else, but it's always comical to watch me struggle on the 9x1. Today I had the Monster out. Again, if you did not see today's video, I had the Monster out, and it was a nice ride to Dunkin' Donuts. performed very well. It's the first time I had the Monster out in a long time. Like I mentioned in the video, the only thing that I was surprised by was that the tire pressure was kind of low. And I put 35 pounds of pressure in there, and it seemed to hold it just fine, but I'm not quite sure why it would get that low. I would like to slime the tire on my Monster, but the way that the stem on the Monster is, it's a lot of the EUCs, they have an angle stem where the stem comes up and points at an angle so you can kind of get better access to it. The Monster, because it's such a bigger tire, it has a conventional stem. You know, it comes here's the wheel, here's the stem, it comes straight up. And the problem is I don't know that I can get a tool in there to take the stem out, or the valve core out, so I can slime it. I don't know. I'd have to try to get a little bit creative with that. It would have been smart for me to do it when I changed the flat, obviously, but I did not think ahead, unfortunately. So the Monster still does not have slime in it, unfortunately. So Clay says you have just over 1,000 miles. Okay. I thought the tires last a little bit longer than that, but I guess it depends on the way you ride. Like if you're on the edge a lot, I've heard that it can make it wear out faster. I've heard of people actually reversing the tire to prevent that from wearing out so fast. My tire still seems 100% fine, but you do a lot more off-trail riding and stuff, and I'm sure that wears down the tire a lot faster. But it's cool. You went with the Burris Treaded. I heard a lot of people say they like that. I know that it has a more rounded surface, so it's a little bit more twitchy, but at the same time, it's a little bit more responsive, which is also what they say about the Pint tire, you know, so, which I'm supposed to be getting in a couple weeks. I don't think I'll have it by the next live stream, but soon thereafter, I should have the Pint in my hands, which would be cool. What's that?
It wasn't a surprise?
No, I mentioned it several times now. And I'm curious, Clay, if you'll notice the decreased range with the treaded tires that I've pretty much heard everyone say that they experience. Although it's hard to believe that it makes that much of a difference, but it's pretty significant, the range that they get with a treaded versus a flat tire. Oh, so it's your toe side edge that's worn out. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense. Hi, baby. Elsa's under the desk here hiding. She, she's such a wonderful dog, but she's also very, very neurotic. And the simplest things freak her out. One of those things is wind and rain. When it's raining outside, she just wants to hide. She just wants to be in a safe place. And one of her favorite safe places is under my desk, so that's where she is residing. You know, she won't eat when she's like this. You know, she doesn't want to go outside to go to the bathroom. It's just the way she is. It's kind of weird. All right. So I am streaming on Twitch as well, and I see one person on Twitch. I bet it's Katie. I wonder if Katie's on Twitch. Barles Charkley, I can detect your sarcasm from here, Barles. He says, it's surprising that your one-wheel tire is in such good shape with all the extreme riding that you do. I mean, that is true. I mean, I do a lot of extreme riding, obviously, but the tire is still in very, very good shape, luckily for me. And I think since the last live stream, I debuted my all olive green one-wheel. I think it looks cool. Clay, did you? I assume you saw my olive green color scheme on the one wheel. I like it. I think it looks good, and I'm glad I got everything. You know, even though it's expensive, I got everything from Future Motion. Yeah, the bumpers and the side rails. It looks good. Looks good to have everything matched exactly instead of the half-ass way I had it before with colored bumpers and then vinyl wrap that wasn't the same color green on the rails. It looks much better now. So, okay, I'm trying to think what else since we last spoke. I had the Tesla for a week. Now I've had the Tesla for 2 weeks. The Tesla's awesome. There's Cindy loves it too.
Love it.
She loves it. I did just post a video yesterday of a mod that I did where you pull the hubcaps, the aerodynamic hubcaps off, and underneath it are perfectly awesome alloy wheels, like dark gray alloy wheels, and with the color of my car, they look really, really good together. Let me see if I can get that picture of it up here. So I just posted one to Instagram, so it should be on Facebook, so I should be able to download it. And I should be able to keep talking to waste time before I do it. All right. We just, Cindy and I, this afternoon, we went to go see John Wick, the third John Wick movie. If I was to give a review of John Wick in one word, it would be silly. It was definitely silly. Not something you need to see in a theater, in my opinion. I mean, you could rent it and enjoy it just as much. But we saw the first two, so, you know, we wanted to see this one as well. All right, Tesla with no hubcaps. There we go. That's what it looks like when you remove those aerodynamic hubcaps, and then Tesla sells a kit on their website that is a new center cap, and then black lug nut covers. And I think it looks great, man. I really, really like it. And it was $50. You know, it probably cost them, you know, $5.
Oh, no.
But, what's that?
Exception unknown, software exception occurred in the application.
So?
I open. Is that bad?
No, it just means something is going to, it's going to close. It's going to crash.
That
whatever.
Crashed. Okay. Facebook crashed.
Okay, let's close it.
Close everything?
Just close the browser and just restart it. So anyways, yeah, got the new exposed alloy wheels, liking that a lot. I've still been trying to get resolution with my steering wheel problem, the steering wheel misalignment. I had a remote tech come and take the Tesla to an alignment shop to fix the steering wheel misalignment. It was tilted this way. When I got it back, it was tilted this way. Less. It was tilted less, but it was still tilted. So now I'm going to be going to Dania Beach next Thursday, going cross state Dania Beach. They're going to hopefully fix the steering wheel misalignment for good, and they're also going to install the HomeLink kit that I bought off the Tesla site, which will add an integrated garage door opener, anything HomeLink related, but almost everybody uses it to open their garage door. So once they install that, you can actually have a garage door opening be part of your configuration. Like when it gets within 50 feet of the garage, it'll automatically fire off the garage door opener. And vice versa, after you leave, it'll automatically close it for you as well, if you want. So so that's cool. I got an estimate on my remedying the paint on the back hood area, or back trunk area. And the Tesla approved body shop said that they were going to try to sand and buff out that paint run. But looking at it, he says it looks like it's in the clear coat, but I guess he said that there's some bubbles in the clear coat. And depending on how deep those bubbles go, it might wind up having to be repainted that area. So that would kind of suck. That would mean I wouldn't have the car for 3 to 4 days. And obviously you don't really want to have your new car get painted. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, these guys are really good, and I would never know, but that's where we stand with that. We submitted the estimate to Tesla, and they're supposed to be getting it approved and sending a PO. So I don't know when that's going to happen. Hopefully soon. Let's shrink that down a little bit. There we go. Other Tesla stuff. I've been doing a lot of autopilot driving just to test it out, just to get a feel for it. It's very, and again, I did another video where I autopiloted probably 95% of the commute to work. And for the most part, it's been very, very good. There's certain times where it can act a little strange. One of the things I mentioned was when you have an area where you have like two lanes or three lanes condensing down, and when you have the road markers or the road lines, you know, going in like this, it wants to, instead of splitting the difference, it wants to hug one side or the other, which can cause it to kind of like veer a little strangely at times. It also would, at least it breaks harder than I normally would. It will not start breaking until it's relatively close, and it's using regen most of the time. It's hardly ever touching the brakes, actually. It's just using the regen on the motors to slow you down. But it seems to wait until you're a little bit closer than I probably would. So, but all in all, it's been really, really good, and I'm looking forward to the full self-driving upgrade coming supposedly in 2019. But I'll be surprised if that actually happens. Clay says, I just need some pro pads. Just need some pro pads for... Oh, pro pads for the one wheel? I don't know. What are pro pads? Not sure. Michael King's here. Hey, Michael. How you doing, buddy? You bet this chat is full of Tesla owners nowadays. Well, the last live stream, there were definitely a lot of Tesla people in here. Right now, I don't know. I haven't seen any of the names from the last live stream. I didn't, 2 weeks ago, I had just posted a Tesla video that day and mentioned the live streams, and I had not posted a Tesla video today, so I don't know how many Tesla people we'll have in here. But talking about Teslas is fun. Really is fun. Like I said in the video today, the only negative part about buying a Tesla is it's for the next... You know, several months, it's going to be consuming my discretionary income that I might use for other things. You know, whether that be EUCs, PEVs, and just, you know, I haven't had to worry about that stuff very much for a while. And, you know, with a $45,000 purchase, you need to be a little bit more fiscally responsible, I would say. So once I get the Tacoma paid off, it'll be better. So I'm working hard at getting that done. Clay says, you just ordered some pro pads. It will replace your grip tape with softer stuff. Okay. I think I've seen that kind of stuff, Clay. I mean, I don't have an issue with the way that the grip tape is now. It's fine for what I do, you know, and I do such extreme riding, you know, and it holds up for me. But I have seen some of that alternative surfacing for the one wheels. But it wasn't anything I was looking to do anytime soon. Like a surfboard, yeah, I've seen it. I have seen it. All right, so what was I saying? And let me look at my notes. I'm trying to think, what else with the Tesla? What else with autopilot? I've also been messing around with lane changing with the autopilot engage, which is kind of cool. Say you're on the highway and you're behind someone, you know, going 5 miles an hour under the speed limit. You just hit the turn signal. The Tesla will check the sensors on that side, make sure it has adequate space to be able to get out and pass. It will turn on the turn signal. It will make the pass, and it'll stay in that lane. And once you're past that person, you can just hit the right turn signal, and again, it'll change back for you. So that's kind of cool. Today, for the first time, I had it. I was on the highway, had autopilot engaged. And it actually asked me if I wanted to do a lane change, an automatic lane change, which is new. I've never had that happen before. And it didn't happen on its own, but all you had to do is turn on the turn signal, and it went and performed the lane change for me. I guess when it sees that you drop a certain speed below what your posted speed is, it will prompt you for a lane change if it sees that there's an opportunity to do so. So I thought that was kind of cool too. Did I mention I lose track of what I talked about in the last live stream. Let me just double back here real quick. Okay, yeah, I don't think I talked about that yet. one of the services I signed up for the Tesla is a site for Tesla owners called Teslify, and it's cool. It aggregates all kinds of data together for your car, and It shows you just information out the wazoo. Let me see if I can do this. Let's see if I can do this. See if I can do a live demo of TeslaFi. Oh, that's weird how it's... It's weird how it's clear there. This. Just bear with me 1 second. All right. All right. So this tells you all kinds of information. Obviously, up front, you can see the immediate charge status, the rated range based on that charge, estimated range based on my driving habits. When you're driving a Tesla, the main stat that affects your range is your watt hour per mile usage. And if you can see here, I don't know how well can you see this. Like, for example, we took it to the movies today, and my watt-hour efficiency was 209 watt-hours per mile, which is very good, which is over 100% efficiency. If you can get it 200 or below, you are really being efficient. If you are, 300 plus, you are not being so efficient. But this tracks all of your rides. It tracks all of your charging. I like this view. When you go to the calendar, you get a summary of what you did each day, how many charges you did, approximately what it cost you in electricity. When you configure TeslaFi, you put in what your electricity costs. It figures that out for you. It tells you your average watt hour per mile figure for that day. It's just tons and tons of data. And, for a geek like me, I find it very, very interesting. Just to see this kind of stuff. My top 10 destinations. Let's see. I've had 27 charges so far, and I've added 143 kilowatt hours to the car. I've used 150 kilowatt hours. I've spent a total of 20 hours and 20 minutes charging. And it cost me $14.63, roughly. So, very, very cool. The site is free for 2 weeks, and then it's $50 for the entire year. So, I thought that wasn't bad at all. TeslaFi. There's also an app you can get for your iPhone called Stats, which does something similar. But I just like having the data presented to me on my computer as opposed to my phone. So I am a big fan of TeslaFi. Very cool. All right, let's get out of there. All right, Michael, let's see, what did Michael say? Michael King says, I asked Jason from eWheels if my little EUC group, Electric Wheelers of Georgia, could be in the test group for the KS16X Tour, and he said yes. Good. Nice. I haven't heard anything about the 16X Tour. He hasn't told me. Jason has not told me if I'm in the group. I was with the first two tours, but I don't know if I'm included or not. He didn't tell me last time that I was included, so I'm assuming I am, but maybe I'm not. I don't know. Hopefully. We shall see. But that's cool that you guys are getting it too. I think, if I'm not mistaken, from what Marty said, that he has requested that the next demo tour starts on the West Coast and comes east as opposed to starting east and going west, because the wheels arrive in California anyways. So I guess it makes more sense to start there. So I think that's what's going to happen. I'm not sure if they're passing the Nikola around as well, or if it's just the 16X, I don't know. I guess I should ask him, but I do not know. Clay says my grip tape was coming off, so I had to replace it anyways. So I went with a more cush option. Okay, Clay, have you ever looked at those the concave foot plates that they have for the one wheel? You know, people that are more serious about it, they really like, you know, having the more bowled out shape on those pads because it gives you more control, I guess. With my big feet, I don't know that I would like it that much, but a lot of people really, really, really seem to like the concave pads. Avo, hey Avo. I don't know that I've seen you in the live stream before. Welcome. Oh, so you're a Tesla guy as well? Cool. Yeah, the wheel kit does look cool. And it's funny, I don't know that I've seen any Model 3s around here that have done that yet. And I'm sure there are some, but I have not seen it. All the Model 3s I have seen either have the upgraded sport wheels from Tesla or they have the hubcaps still on. So for $50, man, it's a no-brainer if you ask me. Michael says he said no about the Nikola, so he's not doing a Nikola cross-country tour, I assume. It'd be kind of late in the game for that anyways. I mean, for those kind of things to be effective, you want the wheel to go to beta testers before it's widely available to the masses. And since the Nikola is out there now, I don't know how effective it would be for him to send that one around anyways. Nicholas says, did you mention to Tesla you found a run in the paint? Yes, I did. I don't know if you just got in here. I was talking about that. Yeah, that's something that's actively being remedied. I contacted Tesla. They got the authorization needed for me to book an appointment with a Tesla-approved body shop on the West Coast. I went there and got a. I let them look at the paint run, and they said that it could take anywhere from 1 to 3 days, 1 to 4 days actually, depending on what they do, if they can sand and buff it or if it has to be resprayed. And all they're waiting for is a PO from the Dania Beach dealership. And once they do that, we will get it scheduled. So, but the guy at the paint shop, he kind of scratched his head. He had not seen such a blatant paint run like that before in a Tesla. So, yeah, it was very surprising, but it should be fixed and brand new, or good as brand new, hopefully. And I do have a couple more mods that I'm planning to do on the Model 3. There's a channel, it's called I1 Tesla, I guess, and one of the things that he's real big on is the mods to make the frunk and the trunk pop open, and basically doing that. Involves changing the struts. Well, on the frunk, it involves changing the struts, and also he has put a lower tension spring on the frunk, so it doesn't require such a huge downward force to lock it in place. It really does seem odd that it requires that much down force to lock. So he changed out the spring that controls that latch, and his now locks much easier. And with the higher power struts, when he pops the button, it goes up on its own. He did a similar mod in the back for his trunk. Again, changing the struts, but it also required the installation of two like helper springs, basically down low, that gives it a little bit of boost when it first pops, just to get it moving, so then the struts can take over. I got the struts sent to me. But the little springs evidently are really, really hard to get. I ordered them, but they're not supposed to be here until sometime in June, so who knows when that'll get done. But yeah, I'm trying to do both of those mods at some point. Oh yeah, no problem, Nicholas. No problem. Yeah, the two problems I've had with my Tesla, again, if you are not familiar with it or you are, was the paint run and the misaligned steering wheel. The steering wheel should hopefully get fixed for good when I go to Dania Beach next Thursday. Yeah, I took Thursday and Friday off, and I have Monday off for Memorial Day weekend, so I have a nice 5-day weekend coming up. So I hope to get that done on Thursday, and then I'm thinking about trying to see if I can get in to get the windows tinted on Friday. because I mean, with the heat down here, the window tint really makes a huge difference with how much radiant energy is coming in. I actually heard of some people that actually tinted the glass roof as well. Even though it is heavily tinted, I guess they put tint on top of that to block even more heat. So I don't know. Maybe I'll talk to the tin place about that and see how much it costs. But if it's a lot of money, I don't know that I'd want to have the whole roof tinted, you know. Mr. Car Crazy, hey man, I remember you from you've been commenting on the videos, and I think you were in the last live stream as well. How you doing, bud? You're not that late. It's only 8:30. So Clay says he likes the idea of concave pads, but I'm not willing to pay the money that they want for them. Yeah, they are expensive, aren't they? And I think that's right. Future Motion just came out with their own. Yeah, it used to be like you would get that from a place like Craft and Ride, but Future Motion has their own pads for the back, I think, not for the front, but for the back, and they have different levels of curve to them depending on I guess what you want. But like anything from Future Motion, one wheel related, it is expensive. Avo says, I replaced the trunk lights with LEDs, also replaced the front puddle lights with the T logo and rear door puddle lights with the 3 logo. Looks awesome at night. I've heard people do that mod, and I've definitely heard about the upgraded LEDs, and I was thinking about doing that as well. The puddle lights, I don't know that the partial premium interior has those. If it does, I didn't notice it. Of course, I haven't driven in a lot at night either, but I'll have to look and see. But yeah, that might be something cool. If it hasn't, and I also heard that the partial premium interior in the standard Range Plus, it has the physical lights for the footwell lighting, but they're disabled in software, which is annoying. You know, it's part of the 10 grand difference, I guess, that you're paying. We'll have to look into that. Yeah, LED lights would be nice. Definitely, they do a much better job. And I'm kind of surprised that they're not LED already. I have to look. I know there's a bunch of videos that outline that procedure, and I can get the information where to order it from those videos. I think I've seen some people that change the frunk light as well. Make it brighter. Nicholas asks, have I compared the watts per hour consumption with climate controls on and off? No. I have not. Because I live in Florida. But I could, I guess. But I mean, even with AC on, a lot of times with my commute, I'm averaging right around 200 or even slightly below 200, even with the AC going. I can always, if I look at the energy graph, the first few minutes when it's trying to cool the interior, you can see a lot of energy being consumed, obviously, from the HVAC. But once it gets down to temperature, it's not bad at all. And when I watch videos, I see people saying that averaging 250 watt hours per mile is good. So the fact that I'm averaging closer to 200 most drives, that it makes me feel like I'm being efficient, I guess. And it's going to be interesting. I still have not supercharged my Tesla, but I might be doing it on Thursday. I figure I'm going to drive across, which will consume a good chunk of battery driving across the state, and then maybe supercharge over there and then head back. I have 1,000 free supercharging miles, so I might as well use them. And the supercharging experience seems pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing how much juice I can get. They have different, depending on what equipment is at a supercharger. I mean, you can charge potentially as fast as 75 miles per 5 minutes, something like that. If you happen to go to the latest and greatest superchargers that can really, really push the amps. Avo says they just pop out. Yeah, I think Avo, I think I saw those light kits on RPM Tesla. I think they sell them. So maybe I'll look there. But I do have to see if I actually have puddle lights in that thing. Again, I probably have them, but they're probably turned off by a software, which that annoys me. So Avvo, you have the dual motor long range. So you have the premium interior. So okay. So again, there's a possibility that stuff is turned off for me. Actually, I would be surprised if it's not. But it really is dumb. Yeah, to me, the $10,000 was really all about the bigger battery and dual motors, you know. But for them to do stuff like just give you the dumbed down version of Google Maps and you know, some of these little pissy things about like not being able to turn on the rear seat heaters and having some of the lights disabled, I think that's kind of shitty, you know. It's not like a base model is a base model car, you know. It's a $45,000 vehicle. And as I've mentioned in a couple of videos, I've had now four people that have actually used my referral code to buy Teslas, which is great. It's good for them, and it's great for me. You know, they get right now until the end of May, they get 5,000 free supercharging miles if they take delivery. And each time they use a referral, I get those miles as well. The only caveat is the miles expire in 6 months. But you do have the possibility of extending that time if you get another referral before they expire. Then all those miles get pushed ahead and they continue to be valid. So it's kind of dumb. They've really cut back on the referral program at Tesla. They're much, much stingier about it than they used to be, which is unfortunate. Because really, I mean, Tesla could use some love right now. You know, look at their stock. Okay, so Mr. Car Crazy says, do 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 do. Okay, I'm sorry, I misread what Mr. Car Crazy was saying. So you haven't bought a car yet. You're thinking about the long range rear wheel drive or the all wheel drive, even though Tesla makes it a pain to order. Yeah, I'm sure that's a special order. It wouldn't be readily available. Mr. Car Crazy asks, how long after your purchase did it take for your miles to show up? I don't know. I don't know that they show up really. Like if you look in the app. Let me just look and see if it actually says anything about free miles. Yeah, I don't think it does. Like I can see my referrals. But I'm assuming since I used someone else's referral code when I bought, and they I assume once I took delivery, I have the miles. I'll let you know when I try to supercharge if I get charged for it, but I should not. But it does not say, at least in the app, I do not see where it says anything specifically about me having or not having supercharging miles available. But I'm pretty sure I have them. Pretty sure. Oh, so Ava says you purchased 3 weeks ago and you're still waiting for your 1,000 free miles. Well, where are you looking for them? Like where should they show up if you have them? Because I've seen people that did supercharging after the, you know, after buying the car, and it basically the way that they showed up was they went to charge and it said it cost $0. But again, maybe it is listed somewhere else that I'm not aware of. But if all these potential referrals go through, I would have 15, 17,000 free supercharging miles. And that's probably more than I'll ever use in the life of the car. Okay, so Avo says when you log into your Tesla account via the web, it still shows pay per minute. All right, let me look and see what mine says. That's interesting that you said pay per minute because I was watching a video where someone was talking about supercharging. Depending on where you live, they bill it differently. Some of it is based on the kilowatts used, and some of it is some places do it based on time. Why there's a difference, I don't know. I'm not sure. All right, so I am signing in. Sign in. Here we go. Okay, it says four friends ordered. Where do you see the part about paying for your chart your supercharging? I don't know. I don't see where that is. Maybe if I manage my car, let's manage it. It shows my service appointment. It shows not a lot more. Detail. Okay, I'll view my details. Okay, I see where you're talking about. It does say pay-per-use supercharging. Yeah, that would kind of suck. Yeah, it even mentions here in this page, this information page, that certain places do the charging per kilowatt, 28 cents per kilowatt hour. Some places do it via the time that you're connected. Interesting. All right, well, anyways, like I said, if I do supercharge next weekend, I'll let you know if I get billed for it or not. That would kind of suck though if I did. You're in the Boston area. Okay. And you bought 3 weeks ago. Okay, so and I bought 2 weeks ago. So it sounds to me like there's a good chance that I might get charged, which isn't a huge deal, but yeah, that would still be annoying. I'm not surprised though. Tesla does not seem very quick to do things. Can you program your charging to get off-peak rates? Yes. As Avo said, yes, Nicholas, you can. You can tell it to charge whenever. Unfortunately, where I live, my electric company is LCEC. They do not have off-peak rates. They have a simple tier system. As your monthly usage goes up, the more kilowatt hours you use, the higher your rate is. Which they say it's to promote being conservative, because if you use less, you pay less, less kilowatt hour rate. But if you're like me and you have a lot of things that consume electricity, and now I throw a car on top of that, electric car, I don't have any way to really get relief there and to charge at a lower rate. So that kind of sucks. Kind of sucks. Yeah, I think my Nicholas, let me just verify that. And which is dirt cheap compared to like California. I remember Marty talking about how to share this. Now, all Teslas have the basic summon, which allows you from outside the car to use phone.